Welcome to Bright Videos News for Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. I've got an interview with Maria Z. Later on in the broadcast today, we are talking about what's happening with Iran and with the collapse of support for Trump and what's happening with MAGA and much more. All that's coming up. Plus, I've got, at least three special reports for you here today. Is the U.S. military a paper tiger that is, not as strong as it seems? Also, I've got a report about how compute scarcity is getting worse. We now have increased scarcity in hard disk drive storage devices, as well as solid state disks and high bandwidth RAM, as well as now CPUs. So it's getting crazy. Why? Because the demand for AI is going insane. So it's not a bubble, it's an explosion. That's what's happening. And then I have a special report about AGI and AI, and I conclude that, AGI is supposed to mean that's when a machine can do the same things that an average human adult can do. And it turns out that's not a very high bar. So I've got a report that says AI reveals that humans aren't very smart to begin with. So, AGI is not the big milestone you thought it was. I mean, think about it. If you had AI that could do the same thing as your office coworker who sits around reading the internet and watching videos all day and getting nothing done, would that be an achievement? No, that's not an achievement. It's like, oh my God, they're going to end the world. Not if they're just the same as the human workers. They're not. They're really going to struggle. But that's not where AI is going to stop, obviously. So anyway, that report's coming up. Now, speaking of AI, and I do have an interesting health article today about how ultrasound is helping to reverse Alzheimer's in some people, like physiologically, at the neurological level. It's really fascinating. But I've got a short video for you here to show you that in China, the G1 robots are now being used to make more G1 robots. So we now have robots assembling robots, at least partially assembling them. This could get interesting, so check out this video from Unitree. So there you go, little Chinese robots manufacturing other little Chinese robots or some kind of component. I couldn't tell what that component is. What is that? Is it some kind of like hip hub or so? Is that a knee joint motor? What is that? I don't even know. But it looks like robots are making robots. That's what Unitree is saying. And notice they don't even have full hands. They just have like a little gripper thing, a little claw. That's all they need, at least for a lot of assembly. But you're going to see a lot more of this taking place, obviously. See, China is clearly the best at robot automation of manufacturing. No one else is even close. It's not even close. And what this means is that China is going to deploy robots far more effectively and more rapidly than anybody else in the world. This is going to cause an explosion in Chinese manufacturing efficiencies, as well as cost reduction. So, I heard this argument last year. I heard the argument that China's labor advantage, low cost labor advantage, was going to be made obsolete by robots working in America. I heard this from people who are promoting, Elon Musk robots, Tesla, or whatever company unit makes those robots. I think it's Tesla. And I remember thinking, no, that's crazy. You got it backwards. In fact, I'm pretty sure I talked about it on this podcast. I said, no, China's going to deploy the robots first because they're the ones who make the best robots. And then that's going to lower the cost of production significantly in China, which will increase China's cost advantage over the West. And that's exactly how it has panned out, because honestly, it wasn't very difficult to see that. It's like, of course, China's going to fulfill its domestic robot jobs, so to speak, first before it exports those robots to other countries. So China is about to take a leap, a quantum leap, you could say, in manufacturing efficiency and scalability and output. Nobody else is going to be able to keep up with China, because these robots will do more than just make other robots. They'll be making batteries. They'll be making automobiles. I mean, they're already making cars. If you go to a China factory right now, it's like wildly automated compared to U.S. factories that are still mostly human driven. All right, so get ready for a shift in economics, that's for sure. Robotic labor is going to dramatically lower the cost of goods, but it won't make them zero, because of course there are raw materials that still go into everything, metal or polymers or microchips or what have you. Things will still cost money. In other words, I've heard some people, some sort of AI utopian people, say, no, you know, robots are going to make everything for free and everything will be free. I'm like, no. Energy is not free, the materials are not free, and the robot that's making stuff is also not free. That you have to amortize that robot, right? You got to pay for the robot. So no. The physical stuff, not going to be free. The digital stuff, yeah, of course, we're going to be flooded with free movies and free, you know, books like my website, brightlearn.ai, free articles, you know, all kinds of free digital content. But you're not going to have free cars. No, not going to happen. All right, let's go to some other news here. Okay, there's some interesting news out of MIT news, and based on a study from the Pikower Institute for Learning and Memory. And here's the title. It says, study suggests 40 hertz sensory stimulation may benefit some Alzheimer's patients for years. So it's a small test, only 5 volunteers, but they received a stimulation of 40 hertz, which is a low-frequency sound wave. That's all. It's kind of like a low hum, which is really interesting because there are many, many health benefits to humming, believe it or not, but we'll get to that later. Anyway, the patients or the subjects with late-onset Alzheimer's showed much better performance on assessments than those outside the trial. In other words, it appears that the 40 hertz exposure physiologically improved their neurology, and it lasted for a long period of time. So here's some of the summary from the study. Quote, the 3 female late-onset Alzheimer's volunteers showed improvement or slower decline on most of the cognitive tests, including significantly positive differences compared to controls on 3 of them. These volunteers also showed increased brainwave responsiveness to the stimulation at 30 months and showed improvement in measures of circadian rhythms. In the 2 late-onset volunteers, that's late-onset Alzheimer's, who gave blood samples, there were significant declines in the, what is this, phosphorylated tau, on a test recently approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration as the first plasma biomarker for diagnosing Alzheimer's. So in other words, their blood markers improved and their cognition improved significantly. So the authors wrote in the journal here, quote, one of the most compelling findings from this study was the significant reduction of plasma p-tau-217, a biomarker strongly correlated with AD pathology in the 2 late-onset patients in whom follow-up blood samples were available. All right, so it showed a preservation of brain volume at 3 months among those who received the 40 hertz stimulation. And then the 2 male early-onset volunteers did not show significant improvements on cognitive tests. In other words, only the females showed improvements on this. However, this is only 5 subjects total, so it's a tiny, almost a pilot study. You know, you need to involve a lot more people, obviously. So what's interesting about this is sound healing. Okay, this is just plain sound healing. And you've heard me talk in the past about tuning forks and some of the vibrations that tuning forks can emit, which is typically higher than 40 hertz, by the way. But I suppose if you had a large enough tuning fork, it could do 40 hertz. That would take a large fork. What are you forking waiting for? Go for it. But humming, you know, look, God gave you the ability to heal yourself in so many ways. And your own sound production is a healing mechanism. And did you know that just by humming, you can heal yourself of many things? Now, do people hum at the low tones of 40 hertz? No, not typically. However, you know, people tend to hum at the sound frequencies that they normally speak at, like, you know, 100 to maybe 400 hertz or something like that. You can hum at 40 hertz if you are like a bass singer, let's say, or you have a very deep voice, which I don't, but you can learn how to do deeper throat kind of sound effects that can achieve both overtones and then lower tones like 40 hertz. And you know, I can do overtone singing for the higher frequencies, and it overlays multiple frequencies at once. And I used to be able to do more of the, like, the Tibetan throat singing type of effects. And I figure, you know, let's give it a shot, because I want to demonstrate for you. See if I can do this without coughing like crazy. But I want to demonstrate for you that you can learn to do this. Okay, so here we go. Okay, woo, I gotta clear my throat after that one. So I was doing a little combination there of some overtones with the lower tones. And yeah, I haven't done that in a long time, so it's probably gonna make me cough a little bit. It's uncomfortable if you don't practice it. But believe it or not, when I think Tibetan monks are probably best known for that kind of voice practice. And then some Christians freak out and it's like, what are you chanting? Actually, it's called, you know, God's healing energy. You know, God gave you the voice to do that. So you should use it, because it's a natural healing modality, and it resonates through your whole body. In fact, you know, come to think of it, I should just do that more often. It's very healing. It feels good internally, because you have this amazing, you know, resonant vibration moving through your entire body, through your bones. Obviously, your bones conduct sound, and through the water in your body. There's so much water in your body, and the water is reshaped by the energy of vibration. That's called cymatics, of course. You probably know that. And just by doing voice toning, it can be incredibly, incredibly healing. And that was the lower tone that I was doing there. You can also do overtones. You can learn these skills. You can practice them. It's all kinds of fun. Just get yourself get yourself a little soundboard with some reverb on it. That makes it even more fun. And by the way, it'll drive your dogs nuts too, because they can hear the overtones. They love the overtones, because when you do this correctly, you're getting like multiple octaves of sound. Let me give you an example of overtone singing. Here we go. Did you hear that? Did you hear all the overtones going up and down like scales? That's called overtone singing, and it's another way to kind of pipe frequencies into your body using your own voice. So thank you for hearing me out, literally, in that case. The reason I just wanted to show you this is because now this is backed by science, at least at the 40 hertz level. Now, see, Western scientists are like, oh my God, sound could heal. Like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. We've known that forever. I mean, indigenous cultures have known that forever. It's just like Western science is just now starting to figure this out. But of course, you know, sound healing has been part of ancient cultures for all of history, as far as we know, you know? And that's why there's singing in gatherings, you know, the singing in church, and the singing has a lot of ah sounds. Why? Why does the song Hallelujah, why does it have a bunch of ah sounds in it? Because the ah opens up, well, especially like the fourth and fifth chakras, as they're called, it opens up those resonant frequencies in your body. Ah, instead of like tight, tense, or whatever, like ah is open. It's friendly. It's loving. It's associated with the heart, okay? So anyway, I'm not going to go into all details about sound healing here, just to tell you that this is now backed by yet more science. And you don't have to wait for more studies to be done. What you can do is start learning this stuff yourself and start using it. Start humming. Just literal humming is really good for you. You know, you can just hum, you can sing about, maybe you don't have to do it in public, but you know, you're cleaning at the house. Wah, 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 wah. Jesus on my mind. You know, like whatever comes to your, whatever you want to do. You can hum soul music if you want. It's totally fine. No one cares. Unless you're doing it out in public. Jesus on my mind. You know, and somebody's like, what? What are you doing? What? I can't have Jesus on my mind? No, but was that you? Was that you singing that? Is there anybody else here? No. So have fun with this, you know? You're supposed to be expressive. God gave you a voice for a reason. And also, your voice shapes reality. And that's another part of prayer, and prayer that is verbalized actually has more power than prayer that's just in your head. Did you know that? The power of the spoken word, the power of voice, because sound alters 3D reality. And again, that's called cymatics, but you can learn this. These are just simple skills. You can practice them. You can use them yourself for healing. As an example, you know, when I injured my finger a couple years ago, one of the things I did was I would put my mouth on the finger joint. I didn't just use tuning forks. I would put my mouth on the joint and I would hum and like that. I'd do low hums, and you can feel it vibrating through the bones. You can feel it. Try it right now. Put your, like, grab a knuckle in your lips. You can feel it. It's vibrating. Oh, hey, Rhodey, what are you doing? Are you liking it? He's like, is it okay that I'm humming? Row, 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 row. Yeah, what is it, Rhodey? Yeah, okay, you can hum too. Yeah, come on, do some humming. All right, that's right. Woo, yes, yes, yes. That's right, good boy, good boy. He didn't like me humming without him humming. But yeah, that's right, you're a good boy. Yes, you are, you can talk too. Go for it. Yeah, just hum, just hum. It's totally okay. What you want to hum about, huh? Woo, that's right. Okay, that's all right. Anyway, I just put my finger between my lips, and boom, it propagates. That's a healing, that's better than a $5,000 medical procedure, okay? Because, you know, they want to bill insurance for all kinds of silly things. You go in, the doctor, even if they believe in sound healing, then they'll put a device on your finger. This is a 40 hertz device, you know, and it makes sound waves, and it's like FDA approved. Oh, yeah, how about I just use my freaking lips for free, huh? You know, doctor was like, no, that's woo-woo. What do you mean? Sound is sound, doc. Sound is sound. I can make it for free. So take my advice. do as much self-healing as you can. Stay away from the doctors and the pharmaceuticals and the pharmacies and the health insurance and all that garbage. and use the gifts that God gave you. Use your brain, use your vocal cords, learn about sound healing, learn about overtone singing, learn about humming, learn about tuning forks, learn about all these modalities, and they will serve you well. This medicine is free. You know, I mean, yeah, you buy one set of tuning forks for, what, $30 or something? And then they work forever. They work forever. So it makes healing literally free. And you've got bone conditions, you know, you got joint conditions. You need to push some extra healing energy into some area of your body. You can hum into it. Or you can use tuning forks on it. You got knee pain? Put the tuning forks, like slap the tuning fork, bing, and put it on your knee. And it'll just drive those frequencies right in there. Get the bigger tuning forks for the lower frequencies, by the way. That's my advice. Because you know your bones are piezoelectric devices, right? So when your bones feel pressure and sound waves have pressure waves, then they become stronger. They build more bone density in response to the pressure. So just by pushing sound into your bones, you will force those bones to build back stronger. That's just a biological fact. I mean, none of this is a mystery, actually. This has been known forever. It's just, it's only now being discovered, apparently, by MIT and whatever, this Institute for Learning and Memory. Yeah, it's funny, if you're called the Pikauer Institute for Learning and Memory, you should realize that there's been cultural knowledge that's been completely forgotten. So you're not actually discovering anything new. You're just resurrecting human knowledge that's already been around that we don't remember. I mean, if anything has Alzheimer's right now, it's Western culture. Western civilization suffers from dementia. We've forgotten half the knowledge that humans once knew. Seriously. But rediscovering it is all kinds of fun. So join me in this effort. Start humming away. And get yourself some tuning forks or learn the throat singing, which is all kinds of fun. And for the first few days you do that, you're just going to be coughing a lot, by the way. And then after that, you can learn overtone singing, and you can have fun with it. So thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can also catch all my videos and podcasts at brightvideos.com. And thank you for listening. Take care. All right, I hope you enjoyed that special report about sound healing. That was all kinds of fun, wasn't it, huh? Yeah, seriously. This Saturday, I got to remind you, we begin at brightyou.com. is the incredible docuseries called Make Yourself Healthy Again, MYHA. Because folks, the government's not coming to save you. Trump's not going to save you. Big Pharma's not going to save you. Nobody's going to save you. You got to make yourself healthy again. And you need to have the right knowledge to do that. So this docuseries, which is free to watch, you just have to register for it, gives you the most incredible array of self-healing and revolutionary strategies for your health. And it's free. Just go to brightyou.com. That's the letter U, brightyou.com. Sign up there with your email address. You can start watching the series for free this Saturday. One episode plays each day on a 24-hour loop. So then there's a new episode on Sunday and then another new episode on Monday, etc. Or you can purchase the whole course and download it and watch it anytime you want. And if you do purchase it, that supports us, obviously, and it supports the four doctors who created the course as well. So that's one thing to be aware of. Secondly, if you want to clean up your health and also accelerate every modality that you use, then clean up your food and your supplements. You know, we do more lab testing than anybody in the industry in the world. And I've shown you, you know, my lab tour video, which people were blown away by that, all the mass spec instruments, all the heavy metals testing and the glyphosate testing that we do, etc. So if you want clean food and clean supplements and ultra clean personal care products, shop with us. HealthRangerStore.com is where you can find all of that. And your purchases there obviously help support us here and support our platform. Plus, we have all our free AI tools that we fund with your support. And those tools include brightanswers.ai, which is our deep research engine, brightlearn.ai, which is our free book creation engine, and then also brightnews.ai, which is our news analysis engine. It's about to have some major upgrades soon. And then also, of course, the site maybe where you're listening to this, brightvideos.com. So check all that out. And then coming up next, remember, we've got an interview with Maria Z, that's coming up. But first, I've got three reports to play for you here. Reports about compute scarcity, AI versus human intelligence, and is the U.S. military a paper tiger? In fact, we're going to start with that one first, the paper tiger U.S. military question. And then in my interview with Maria Z, we talk about Iran and what's happening in the buildup of naval forces there, etc. What are the likely outcomes? So be sure to stay tuned for that at the end of all of this. And enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you for listening. It has become clear to me that the United States conventional military forces are a paper tiger, that the U.S. cannot withstand any kind of duration of kinetic conflict with any country, not Russia, not China, not even Iran, heck, not even Yemen for that matter. What the U.S. is doing right now, or Trump, with threatening Iran is it's posturing. It's like a bully running around the playground with his arms all held out, puffed up, and like, I'm tough, I'm going to kick your ass, I'm going to kick your ass, you know? But the bully doesn't know jujitsu, let's say. And, you know, some smaller, scrawny kid can put him in an arm bar or, you know, get his head in a triangle and knock him unconscious. The U.S. military doesn't have the advanced weapons that would be necessary to defeat Iran. I'm not saying it can't do a lot of damage. It can. It can inflict quite a bit of surface damage for one salvo, one wave of missiles and bombs and cruise missiles and, you know, whatever else. It can do that, but it can't sustain. It doesn't have the depth of the munitions and missiles from either, you know, the submarines or the cruisers or the destroyers or whatever. It doesn't have it. And either Trump already knows that, and he's just hoping that he can seem threatening enough to force Iran to surrender, or Trump doesn't know the truth about how weak the U.S. military has become. And he's overconfident in an irrational way, maybe because that's what his people are telling him. He's overconfident, and he's going to order the attack, and the U.S. military is going to be severely damaged. The Navy in particular, ships could be lost. Stealth aircraft could be shot down, and it's very likely to happen, actually. Because this time, China has its radar ships. I don't know what they're called, don't know the exact numbers, but they're advanced ships. I think China's got three of them in the region right now that take away any element of surprise from the West. So there's no way that Trump or the Pentagon can initiate a surprise attack on Iran in the middle of the night, you know, with stealth fighters, stealth bombers, and a bunch of missile launches, because Chinese ships will instantly know that that's what's happening. And they will obviously transmit that information to Iran. They clearly have an information sharing system set up. So China will share that information with Iran, and then Iran won't be surprised because those missiles will take, you know, some amount of time to arrive. I don't know if that's an hour or 30 minutes or whatever, but 30 minutes makes a huge difference in terms of, readiness to handle an incoming attack. But the element of surprise is gone now. And on top of that, Iran has much more advanced missiles and air defense systems and anti-stealth radar that China provided, etc., compared to even 6 months ago. And 6 months ago, Iran also couldn't be destroyed by the U.S., and Iran managed to dish out a lot of punishment to Israel during the so-called 12-day war, which only proved that Iran could actually destroy Israel if it continues more than 12 days. And, you know, Iran has better technology since then. It has more drones, it has more missiles, it has more guidance technology, and it has more technical know-how thanks to the help of Russia and China. So the U.S. and Israel are actually putting themselves in a position where they can take a serious amount of damage. And Israel may not be functional after this. Now, I'm not saying that Iran won't take a lot of damage too. Clearly, it will. The U.S. can dish out a lot of damage right up front in one wave. But after that, the U.S. is gone. Their ships, you know, they've shot all their ammo. They don't have anything left. They don't have anti-air left. And at that point, Iran can swamp U.S. naval vessels with drone swarms or anti-ship missile swarms or a combination of those two. And the naval vessels will be sitting ducks out there. It'll be a miracle if we don't lose one or more of those ships. They end up at the bottom of the, well, wherever they are, you know, the bottom of the Arabian Sea somewhere. Also with maybe a few thousand souls on board, depending on what ship goes down. Like if it's an aircraft carrier, you know, there's almost 5,000 sailors. And did you know that there's not enough life rafts, you know, on an aircraft carrier? If it goes down, that the people on board are pretty much screwed? I mean, many of them. Do you know that? So this is a very precarious situation that Trump is lining up for us. And I hope he's just bluffing, but I suspect he's not. I suspect he thinks, because this is the way he does think. He thinks the U.S. can beat anybody, that the U.S. is undefeatable, etc. And that is just flat out not true. It may have been true in 1991, Operation Desert Storm, but it's not true today in 2026, not even close to being true. So we need to talk about what's going to happen if Trump initiates this attack on Iran. This will unleash a domino effect of catastrophic events affecting the U.S. economy, affecting world peace or geopolitics. It will affect the U.S. dollar and more. So let's go through a little bit of that. Number one, Iran is likely to close the Strait of Hormuz, or at least selectively close it to Western ships. And that would mean that oil prices would skyrocket. It's also possible that some of the oil fields in Saudi Arabia could be destroyed by Iran, and that would send oil prices through the roof as well. So energy is going to become more expensive, which means transportation gets more expensive, which also means food gets more expensive, etc., right? So get ready for that fun phase of history. Geez, it's a good time to grow your own food, that's for sure. Then on top of that, you're going to see gold and silver skyrocket if this war breaks out, which you might celebrate that if you have a lot of gold and silver, but I don't celebrate it because I don't want war. I'd rather metals stay low and have peace. But the rise of gold and silver will be an indicator of the decline of the dollar, because this war, this will encourage yet more countries around the world to ditch the dollar as quickly as possible, especially if a U.S. naval vessel is sunk by Iran. That alone, like the sinking of a cruiser or something, I don't know what all the ships are, but let's say some major ship out there gets sunk. You know what that's going to do to the dollar? The dollar is going to suffer a total collapse of faith. Because remember, the dollar, the only reason it was the world reserve currency was because the U.S. could legitimately threaten military force to any country that did not use the dollar. Okay? And that's what Saddam Hussein, you know, the attack on Iraq, that whole war was about the dollar. More than anything else, it was about the fact that Saddam Hussein was willing to sell oil in currencies other than the dollar. So if the U.S. starts to lose ships, the world's going to see that the U.S. is a paper tiger. And then the dollar's done. And if the dollar is done, do you have any idea how expensive consumer goods are going to become in America? Because the collapsing currency will make everything that's imported even more expensive. You know, dollar devaluation. And I'm not talking about the U.S. dollar currency versus other international currencies. I understand that, you know, Trump might want a weaker dollar compared to other currencies in order to encourage U.S. exports. What I'm saying is a collapse in the total valuation of the dollar, meaning that you're going to have to use a lot more of them to purchase consumer goods that are imported. And why would that happen? Well, because so many countries around the world would just start dumping dollars and dumping treasuries and saying, well, clearly the era of U.S. dominance is over. And that's the biggest risk of what Trump might be doing right now, is he might be putting the U.S. in a situation that if it goes badly, it will prove to the world that the U.S. is no longer the dominant power of the world, which it isn't. I mean, we are living in the last chapter of the U.S. empire as we know it, that's for sure. But Trump could be accelerating the demise of the U.S. empire by thrusting us into a situation that could end up being catastrophic for the U.S. Navy. And that's my greatest fear in all of this. You know, the strength of the U.S. is now a mirage. And those ships are out there floating around as part of that mirage. I'm not saying they don't have actual missiles. They do. They can do some amount of damage, but they can't win a war, not with any power that is even close to equal. You know, the U.S. forces can't win a ground war against really anybody, certainly not Iran and not Russia, obviously. I mean, for one thing, U.S. soldiers are mostly fat. I mean, they're going to waddle around and look for cover, you know? Yeah, this isn't the United States Marine Corps of, you know, 1945. This is something completely different. These people today in the military, although there are exceptions, but by and large, these people are not that fit, not that mobile, not very capable. They're going to have a very hard time. I mean, this is really classic, what we say in America, Sun Tzu, art of war. In Chinese, it's pronounced Sun Tzu. And Sun Tzu means that you know, from Iran's point of view, you appear weak in order to entice your opponent into a trap. And you take advantage of your opponent's arrogance. You entice them into a situation where you actually have the dominant forces and you can destroy them. But you rely on their arrogance and the psychology of your opponent. And it seems like the world can definitely rely on Trump's arrogance and Trump's lack of technical accuracy about the U.S. military. So we could be getting walked right into a trap. We could lose thousands of U.S. sailors and U.S. soldiers at the military bases around the region, and we could have ships sinking to the bottom of the sea, and then we could have the world abandon the dollar, and we could end up in America in a horrific situation, facing basically the collapse of global hegemony and a recalibration of the world into a multipolar organization where China and Russia are really equals with the United States, and Iran may be a near equal in many ways. And BRICS nations would surge forward, and their settlement currency systems would also surge forward, and the dollar would be abandoned everywhere. That's especially true given all the dollar sanctions that Trump and Biden put in place to punish countries that didn't do what we demanded they do. So this could be the beginning of the end, actually, of the U.S. empire as we know it, and also the end of Trump's political career, because, I mean, imagine the political pressure if we start to lose stealth bombers and naval vessels. You know, Trump's going to go down in history as the president that got the U.S. Navy destroyed, or partially destroyed, that walked us into a trap by a technologically superior Iran, aided by China and Russia. That's what this looks like to me. So, I guess we'll see. But Trump wants Iran to, quote, do a deal, which means he wants Iran to surrender to the demands of the United States. But Iran can't do that because those demands are incompatible with the existence of Iran. You know, you can't give up all your missiles. You need them for self-defense. You can't give up your domestic nuclear energy program. You have a right to have that. You can't give up your nuclear enrichment program. You're going to need to build a nuke. Otherwise, you're really not a sovereign nation if you don't have nuclear weapons. You know, sooner or later, Iran is going to have a nuclear weapon or multiple nukes in order to prevent Israel and the United States from constantly attacking it. I mean, if you were the leader of Iran, wouldn't you be working on nuclear weapons as quickly as possible? Of course. It's your best defense against Western aggression. So that's probably where this is headed. And maybe if Iran announced right now, if they announce, hey, we have nuclear weapons right now, maybe that could stabilize the region for a while and stop the threatening posture by Israel and the United States. You know, why shouldn't Iran have nuclear weapons? Pakistan has them, India has them, and Israel has them, and Israel illegally acquired them. So if Iran had nuclear weapons, and again, they could have been handed nukes by Russia or China, maybe that's already in play, then Iran could just announce it and say, okay, look, we have nuclear weapons now, and if you attack us, we're going to nuke your freaking navy. And what do you suppose a nuke would do to naval vessels on the surface of the ocean? We already know the answer to that. It destroys them, and it kills everybody on board without causing damage on land, although, of course, there's a radiation cloud, etc. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's where this escalates to, although I pray it doesn't, but it could certainly end up there, nuclear weapons being detonated above U.S. naval vessels in the Arabian Sea, or a nuke hitting Diego Garcia, the U.S. military base there that's housing B-2 bombers, you know, just completely obliterates the bombers, the base, and the people that are stationed there. It'd be a total loss. And that's a sitting duck target, you know, it's just, it's not mobile. Everybody knows where it is. It's pretty easy to hit. So Trump had better be extremely cautious about what he is initiating. He's no longer up against countries that can't defend themselves. He's not fighting, you know, a bunch of backwoods goat herders. He's fighting or threatening to attack an advanced nation with advanced technology, with missile tech, with anti-ship and anti-stealth radar systems, and so on. This is not a walk in the park. And Trump is being misled, I believe, by his own advisors. Because everybody in the military, at you know, the top brass anyway, they're telling him, yeah, we can win, when they can't. So this probably is not going to go well. So stay tuned. You can follow my articles on this at naturalnews.com. And you can also follow my podcasts and my interviews at brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. Compute scarcity will get much worse for years to come. Welcome to the special report. I'm Mike Adams. I'm an AI developer and the builder of numerous popular online platforms, now all coded with AI. And we are running into massive compute scarcity. It started earlier this year, just last month, when NVIDIA doubled the prices on their GPUs. For example, the GeForce 5090 cards doubled from about $2,500 to almost $5,000. And that's already in place right now. And that's a bummer for me because I was buying those cards at $2,400 or $2,500. But it's getting way worse. There are huge shortages of memory, especially high bandwidth memory that's used on GPUs and in enterprise server systems and data centers. There's only a couple of manufacturers of this extremely high bandwidth memory, and they're tapped out for years to come, for years. On top of that now, hard disk drives, that's right, spinning platters of storage, they are becoming incredibly scarce, and their prices are skyrocketing. That also sucks because I buy a lot of storage, and I've centered on the 26 terabyte hard drives that I use for my data center, which is a small AI training data center based on 48 workstations. But that's what I've used to build our own in-house AI data indexing and AI models that that power all the platforms that we have, such as brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai, brightnews.ai, brightvideos.com, etc. In addition to that, I mean, it's worse. CPUs now are starting to have shortages. You're going to have an extreme shortage of every component. Oh, and I forgot to say, solid state drives have gone up radically in price also, SSDs. So storage is going up, RAM is going up, GPUs are going up, and CPUs are going up. It's like, what hasn't gone up? The power supply. Okay, power supply is still affordable. Great. The computer case is still about the same price, but everything else is doubling or tripling. So why? What's driving this? Well, it's because of the insatiable demand for AI compute. That is AI inference as well as AI training. This tells you something very important. There is no AI bubble, period. And all the people out there who have been telling you, oh, there's an AI bubble, the AI bubble gonna pop. Nonsense. They have no idea what they're talking about. There's no AI bubble. Now, stock prices might get corrected here and there. Who knows? But in terms of AI tech itself, there is insatiable demand. A bubble is when, typically, like a stock market bubble, is when prices are too high because the underlying companies don't have demand for their products and therefore don't have a revenue model. You know, like the dot-com bubble. That was nonsense. All these companies went to massive valuations, but they never solved a problem. They just had websites. Like, that was the big thing back in 2000. Oh, I have a website, you know. We got eyeballs. That's what everybody said. Eyeballs. Eyeballs is all that matters. And they got these massive valuations based on eyeballs. Well, in today's AI field, there's so much demand. And the products are solving actual problems. The products are generating content. They're generating images. They're generating voices. They're generating audio. They're creating films and movies and videos. They're doing spreadsheets and they're writing freaking code. Really good code, by the way. Like breakthrough revolutionary code writing capabilities. This isn't a bubble. This is the beginning of a breakout. And that's why they can't keep up with demand. See, there's something called Jevons paradox. And what it means is that when a technology becomes cheaper, demand doesn't go down. It can often go up because as the tech becomes cheaper, the end users find more use cases for it. So also, of course, qualitatively, AI is getting better, much better, by leaps and bounds. But it's also getting a whole lot cheaper per token, let's say, or, you know, per operation. So this is causing companies to find lots of new use cases, you know, customer service replacement, coding replacement, obviously data entry, OCR tasks, you know, all kinds of automation, spreadsheet analysis, accounting, handling customer emails, you name it. And AI innovators like myself, we've built entire platforms like brightlearn.ai that now has over 36,000 books published from almost 9,000 authors who are prompting it to create books. And the books are amazing with cover art and book research and book writing. You can download the finished PDF. It's all completely free. It's amazing. So that's a use case that did not exist 1 year ago. And believe me, we burn a lot of tokens on that because that thing is cranking books constantly. There's a wait time. Most days, sometimes it catches up and it's all good. But that's a use case that did not exist. There are so many examples of that. So what's happening is the aggregate demand for AI inference and compute continues to skyrocket, even though the physical supply chain for the components that run AI can't keep up. It can't scale as quickly because you can't just, you know, launch a new high bandwidth memory factory overnight. That takes years. It takes expertise. It takes design and planning and construction and then validating the facility. You know, it takes extremely high-end UV lithography equipment, for example, and etching equipment and polishing equipment and, you know, cleaning equipment and solvents and supply chains for the solvents, etc. on and on and on. It's incredibly complex. So it's going to be years before the manufacturers of the hardware can keep up with the demand on the AI inference side. And that means that people like you and I are going to have to suffer through this component drought for a few years, literally for a few years. And that's why for the last several months, I've been buying up all the hardware I can find, I mean, or that I can afford. I don't have billions of dollars to throw around like the tech companies. So I buy what I can because I don't think I'm going to be able to get it again. And some of the stuff I've been buying has been a little sketchy. For example, I thought I was buying some graphics cards off of Amazon, and when they shipped, they actually only shipped these little chintzy USB cables, even though it's supposed to be a $1,000 graphics card. And of course, that was a scam and a fraud. I returned all that stuff. Amazon refunded it. But there's a bunch of scammers out there right now that are preying upon the scarcity of this, where people like me are out shopping, trying to find hardware, you know? So watch yourself, watch out. If you're buying stuff on eBay or Amazon for that matter, make sure you choose reputable sellers or you might get scammed. So bottom line, no, AI is not in a bubble. Stock prices could radically shift, but that's more probably because of a money printing type of situation. Stock prices can shift around, of course, quite considerably, and there is probably overinvestment in the stock market in general, so there could be corrections there, but that has nothing to do with AI demand, because AI demand is through the roof, and it's not going to go anywhere, because AI demand is through the roof, and it will not dissipate. It's going to be here for a long time to come. It's going to increase, especially with AI video creation, more language models, more application uses, lots of things, more automation coming. So get ready. It's going to be very expensive to buy computers for years to come. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. You can read my articles at naturalnews.com. You can hear all my videos and podcasts and interviews at brightvideos.com. So thank you for listening and take care. So one of the things we're coming to realize right now is that human cognition is not very impressive. Welcome to this podcast. I'm Mike Adams. I'm an AI developer of multiple online platforms built with AI, platforms that are very popular like brightlearn.ai. I'll talk more about some of those platforms later on. But, you know, right now, I would say in the last week, finally, lots and lots of people are coming to realize that they're going to be replaced by AI, or there's a threat that their jobs will be replaced by AI. And for some reason, it only just now hit people. Even though I've been warning about this for, 2 years now, publicly, and for most of those 2 years, people were like, no, that's never going to happen, you know. I remember last year, I said, you know, AI is going to replace virtually all human doctors, at least the GPs, because doctors don't do anything that can't be automated. You know, they assess a symptom and then they prescribe a drug. It's a very simple matrix, actually. And people push back on the, oh, no, machines can never do what doctors do. Want a bet? See, the problem is that medicine's been automated. Doctors aren't even allowed to be human. You see, this is my point, that across the corporate culture in America and much of the world, when you walk into your office cubicle, your employer doesn't want you to be human. They want you to be a machine. They want you to do a task. Here, write code. You know, here, answer customer service emails. Here, do this engineering of this building. Okay? These are robotic tasks. And because they're robotic, they can be easily automated with machine cognition. And what we're really finding out today is that most office workers aren't doing much, especially in government. They're mostly sitting around, you know, punch it in on the clock in order to collect a pension and get vacation days and benefits. And, you know, occasionally, maybe for an hour a day, they might actually do work, but they will avoid it every chance they get. And, you know, sitting around at the water cooler, chatting, taking breaks, pretending to work, writing tips reports, summarizing the report they just wrote using ChatGPT and then taking another hour break, checking sports scores, checking their personal email, texting people, watching YouTube videos at work, etc. This is what people actually do at work. And it's hardly any work. Now, obviously, I know there are exceptions to this, and many of you listening, you're probably innovators, you're entrepreneurs, and that's not the way you work. Me neither. I mean, I'm actually doing amazing things, you know, at least 12 hours a day, innovating, building new features, creating content like I'm doing right now, etc. Very few people are as productive as you and I. Very few people. And because of that, and because of the fact that so many of them were lobotomized with the vaccines, it's not going to be very difficult for AI to replace the vast majority of human cognition. Or another way to put this is that AGI, artificial general intelligence, which has been defined as the ability to do basically everything that a human worker could do sitting behind a desk, it turns out that that bar is pretty low. That AGI, if you define it that way, it's already here. You know, because it's not that difficult to do what the typical human office worker does. They don't do much. And then the other argument I hear from some of the anti-AI people is, well, I saw an AI model make a mistake. It hallucinated. Therefore, we can't use it. You know, humans hallucinate worse than any machine, by far. I mean, my God, there are still Trump supporters who think that Trump stands for America. You know, there are still people who think that vaccines work. I mean, the hallucination rate of humans versus machines is off the charts, different. You know, humans hallucinate like crazy. And beyond hallucinations, humans make errors like crazy. A typical human office worker, they make all kinds of mistakes. I mean, I got a property tax bill last year that was crazy high. I went to the tax office. What's the deal with this? Why is it seemingly 10 times too much? And they looked at it and said, we're off by one decimal point on your property taxes. Like, how is that possible? Well, somebody just entered it wrong. You know, oh, okay. And interesting, these mistakes are always in your favor. You know, how come it wasn't 10 times less? I would have been happy to pay 10 times less. But, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe it's just some, what do they call it, fat finger. That's a phrase. It means people who type the wrong keys, right? Fat finger error. And all of a sudden, the property taxes go up 10x. But humans make these mistakes all the time. All the time. So again, the accuracy of AI in order to replace humans doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be better than humans. And that's a pretty low bar. And in fact, AI is already way beyond that. And sometimes I hear people complaining about AI. Oh, it invented it. It fabricated information. You need to go to a prompting class because your prompt sucks. Or you're using the wrong model or something. You know, that's actually human error. There are ways to force AI to review its own output before it outputs it. I mean, it's not even difficult to do that. It's kind of standard practice these days. So if you're not doing that, you're not using it right. You know, it would be like trying to hammer a nail with the handle, the wooden handle end of the hammer. Like, this hammer doesn't work. You know, these nails aren't going down. I keep pounding and pounding and pounding. Dude, turn the hammer around. You got the wrong end. Oh, that's what that's for. I thought that was a handle. Oh, okay. See, that's what I'm talking about. People aren't that smart. And office workers aren't that productive, and they're not very capable. And they're easily replaceable in most cases. About 80% of the human workforce can be replaced, technically, within the next year. I'm not saying that will happen because there's, you know, corporate momentum and stay behinds and whatever. So it's going to take a few years, but about 80% can be replaced you know, again, very soon. The other 20%, perhaps you could argue those are people who actually think and who are actually doing something. Yeah, they're going to keep their jobs for years to come. They're always going to have value. And frankly, a lot of those 20% are the people who are learning to use AI to make themselves better and more capable and more productive in their jobs. The lower 80%, they're not interested in AI. They don't think AI can replace them, and they're wrong. And it turns out that low intelligence people are very bad at understanding their limitations. It's just, it's another paradox that's well documented. So anyway, this is going to get interesting. Watch closely what happens and upgrade your skills. You know, use my tools that will make you smarter. Use my free book engine at brightlearn.ai and use my AI research engine at brightanswers.ai and keep watching my videos at brightvideos.com with interviews and commentary and everything else, and you will upgrade your understanding of all this. Guaranteed. You're going to learn something in every podcast. So follow me on my new video site, brightvideos.com, or you can follow my written word at naturalnews.com. And thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, AI developer, health ranger, innovator, open source advocate, freedom advocate, etc. Thanks for listening. Take care.
There are a number of things that we can rattle off. We can talk about eugenics. We can talk about the transgender movement being essentially funded by Epstein. You know, that's something that we're reporting on this week. Transhumanism, life on Mars, the disgusting, satanic, obvious occultic practices of Epstein and his ilk, the pedophilia, the list goes on and on. But I think the biggest revelation from these files is that our suspicions that our governments aren't really our governments are true.
Yeah.
There is a class of people that operate above those governments, and our governments exist to be performative in their roles in order to enact the agenda of those above them that are really ruling this world.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams. And today I'm joined by a very special guest, Maria Z from Z Media. And she joins us to talk about, she's been digging through the Epstein files, at least the ones that the DOJ has given us. And what she's finding is extremely disturbing. So welcome, Maria. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back, Mike. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and we should do this more often. That's why I reached out to you. I was like, hey, you know, it's been too long. Come on the show and tell us what you're seeing. I do want to mention that today's interview is sponsored by the Satellite Phone Store at SAT123.com. We'll talk about them later. But Maria, what are you finding? What are the big things that you're finding that are the most shocking so far?
You know what, Mike? There are a number of things that we can rattle off. We can talk about eugenics. We can talk about the transgender movement being essentially funded by Epstein. You know, that's something that we're reporting on this week. Transhumanism, life on Mars, the disgusting, satanic, obvious occultic practices of Epstein and his ilk, the pedophilia, the list goes on and on. But I think the biggest revelation from these files is that our suspicions that our governments aren't really our governments are true.
Yeah.
That there is a class of people that operate above those governments, and our governments exist to be performative in their roles in order to enact the agenda of those above them that are really ruling this world. I think that the files really illustrate that. And it's very clear when you look at all of the things that Epstein was involved in, just on a practical level, for example, transgenderism, transhumanism, eugenics, vaccines, pandemics, all of these things. When you look at his involvement in all of those things, that these are all, orchestrated by people above us, above our governments, to bring us to the point of Agenda 2030, or, you know, more broadly, the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell without the mark. This is what these people are involved in.
And what's,
and to,
Well, I'm sorry, but what's extraordinary about what you're saying is how much of our history has clearly been scripted from 9/11 to the pandemic, the COVID response, the vaccines, the transgenderism push. All of these things were actually scripted by, let's call them the Epstein class of globalists, right?
Yes. Yes, it's been scripted. It's been planned years in advance. This is something that the quote unquote conspiracy theorists have been talking about for a very long time. We have been subjected, you as especially, to financial penalties for discussing these things. We've been subjected to smears in the media, loss of our businesses, loss of our accounts. How many of us have, you know, been impacted financially? Say, just for example, Mike, being shadow banned, which I know that you're suffering with. How much are we financially impacted because of shadow banning? Now, I know your values. You're not in this because of money, but the losses are there, that we have been impacted with our reach, with our ability to tell people the truth. We've been suppressed. Those of us who've been telling the world this for years to try and wake them up out of their slumber have been suppressed in every single way and punished for telling the truth. And now it's there for everyone to see. And there seems that there are going to be no consequences. Well, I want some consequences, because I've been severely negatively impacted for telling people about this network for years.
Absolutely. And you have been vindicated, as have I. All the things we warned about turned out to be completely true, including Pizzagate, including 9/11 being an inside job. And, you know, the list goes on and on, right? Including to this day, everything from, you know, rigged elections to false flag operations to engineered scripted shootings, one of them in New Zealand a few years ago, right? I think that was the Christchurch shooting. And clearly that's part of the same overall script. I'm not claiming that nobody died. What I'm claiming is that the deaths and the violence is all scripted to achieve a specific purpose. Now, you and I have paid a huge price. My company's lawsuit against X, against Facebook, against Google, YouTube, etc., demands $50 million in compensation. And that's actually probably a small estimate of what we have lost because of that censorship. So, but as you say, Maria, there's no apology coming. There are no repercussions coming. I've seen people on X, they are calling for, you know, hanging everybody, like tear it all down. I'm not calling for that, just to be clear. I'm not saying to run around hanging whoever. But why aren't people being arrested or investigated when they're clearly complicit in acts of child rape, pedophilia, human trafficking, and torture?
Yeah, absolutely. The other point I made, Mike, was, you know, we're told that, okay, it's case closed, we've released everything and there's nothing more to see here. Well, actually, there's a lot to see here. There are legitimate things that need to be investigated from these files, and you have not satisfied us that you've investigated them. In fact, you won't even answer as to whether you've investigated them. There are serious allegations against President Trump. Now, they may prove to be untrue, but we need an investigation. There needs to be an investigation into Howard Lutnick. You can't just lie to the people and expect to keep your job. And who on earth in their right mind takes their children to a pedophile island and expects to still be in charge of the commerce of the country? Well, this is not normal. It's literally insanity. And, you know, even when it comes to the transgender stuff, like I said, we reported on that this week. It newly released files show that Epstein funded research tied to key figures in transgender medicine, encouraged academic work on transgender biology, and circulated the topic among elite institutional networks. So you actually have this, you know, apart from the pedophilia and all of the abuse against children, which absolutely needs to be prosecuted, and people need to go to prison for that. That doesn't look like they will, but that needs to be happening. You also have an administration that was absolutely clear on the fact that transgenderism was madness. We should not be mutilating children's genitals. And yet we're being told case closed. No, it's not case closed. We have clear ties to Epstein and a few figures in the transgender movement, including surgeons and all these other people who conspired to push this on the population. What do you mean case closed? No, instead we have transgender funding continuing through Medicaid per the Big Beautiful Bill. The Republicans were so keen to pass.
Yep.
So what the hell is going on here?
Well, I'm actually at this point, I'm wondering if when Trump and his family are forced to flee America, if they will be Jeffrey Epstein's neighbors in Israel one day. Because, the GOP is collapsing in terms of public support. The midterms are going to be a bloodbath politically. Trump is losing all support. He is seemingly, in my view, he's actively giving the middle finger to his entire support base. Because everything that he ran on here, which was, yeah, release the files, full disclosure, anti-war, you know, let's make America great again, restore freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. Those aren't happening. None of those are happening. Instead, we got super aggressive ICE agents shooting Americans in the streets. It's just way overzealous. We've got a Palantir surveillance grid being built out. We've got tariffs and taxation that we didn't have before. And he's about to bomb Iran and start World War III. Still hasn't concluded the situation with Russia and Ukraine. People are losing their jobs en masse, and food inflation is worse than ever. So the GOP is toast. That's my assessment, though. Do you agree or disagree, or what would you add to that?
Yeah, I have to agree on the things you said there about what we were promised versus what we're seeing. I recall President Trump talking about a digital bill of rights. And this is something that I was very excited about during his campaign trail, talking about the fact that people need to have the right to freedom of speech online. And we need something, you know, to really enshrine that so that we never see something like the Twitter files again, shadow banning, which exists on all platforms, including X, no matter how much they tell you it doesn't.
That's right.
You want to talk about a meritocracy? You need to give independent media the same ability to speak freely as you do to your controlled network of media, which claims to be independent, but is not. And I'm quite comfortable saying that now, Mike. It's very obvious. If you or I tried to grow to 2 million subscribers on YouTube, that's just an impossible task. It's never going to happen.
That's right.
It's rigged. It's absolutely rigged. And so, I was very excited about those types of things, those types of promises, the no more wars, making America great again, America first, all of that. And really it was, you know, a lot of alarming statements, I would say, leading up to the election, but it was day two that I was certain, Mike, that this was going to go in a very sinister direction. And it was with the announcement of Stargate.
Stargate, yeah, 100%.
Yep, it was the announcement of Stargate. And I said, right, this is going to be an AI administration, a transhumanism administration. And, you know, I see some people that are really angry about the label, the Epstein administration. I don't necessarily agree with that because it kind of, you know, it makes it seem like everyone in there was doing what Epstein was doing. It's certainly a cover up of Epstein. And as far as Epstein's agendas of transhumanism, AI, digital ID, control, all of those things, how can you deny it? How can you deny it when President Trump is trying to stop states from being able to regulate AI while you have aquifers being drained in Arizona and people's wells that they spend a good, you know, up to $60,000 in this day and age to dig, completely bone dry because the data center needs it. There is no priority on the American people at all here from what I can see, Mike. It is breaking my heart, actually.
I want to talk about that. Let me remind our audience that we're interviewing Maria Z. The website is zmedia.com, and that's a triple E. So it's the letter Z, triple E, media.com. And in addition, you can follow Maria Z on Rumble. She's got a very prominent channel there, rumble.com. Just search for Z Media. There it is. And you can follow her there. Now, yeah, Maria, as you know, I am very deep into decentralized AI technology. What I see this administration doing is the worst presentation of AI possible, which is to have these powerful corporations that have already carried out tremendous evil and to centralize power of surveillance and weaponization and autonomous Skynet Terminator weapons in the hands of these corporations that also tried to kill us all with the COVID pandemic and that PSYOP. And then when one company, Anthropic, tries to say, no, we don't want you to use our technology for autonomous weapons, then Pete Hegseth, the so-called Secretary of War, he threatens to put them on the ban list to say that, that basically they're a security threat to the nation because it's the one company that says, no, we don't want to build Terminators that go kill people. This is going badly. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I actually, as you're speaking, I'm just bringing up a particular tweet that I saw, which I think really spells it out really very, very well for the people. The Pentagon just threatened to treat an American AI company worse than it treats Chinese spy firms.
That's
this is from Layla Elera. Because they refuse to spy on Americans.
She
says, I can't believe I'm writing this. Anthropic is fighting to keep two lines, no mass surveillance of American citizens and no autonomous weapons that fire without a human involved. And basically the backstory to this is, I guess it looks like Anthropic wasn't fully aware of how their AI would be involved in what happened with the capture of Nicolas Maduro. Perhaps they
That's
weren't
correct.
Fully aware that there wouldn't be human oversight on that operation. And that goes against their ethos or their stated ethos. And the senior official is telling Axios, we're going to make sure they pay a price. Mishi Layla Ira says, this is your government, not the cartel, by the way. And we have, you know, the same government that's sanctioning China over social credit surveillance and condemning Russia's domestic monitoring, now demanding all lawful purposes to access AI. It's also worth noting that both the US and China refused to essentially sign a pact that said responsible use of AI. They won't sign it.
But Maria, when Pete Hegseth says all lawful purposes, let's understand, he thinks it's lawful to bomb Iran. He thinks it's lawful to steal oil tankers that are sailing out of Venezuela. The Trump administration is not bound by any law, any rule, any constitution, anything. When they say lawful, what they mean is whatever they want to do. So, you know, Dario Amodi, the CEO of Anthropic, he's actually correct to say, look, I don't want to contribute to building Skynet Terminators that could exterminate humanity, especially under this administration that has already shot and killed Americans who were simply exercising their First and Second Amendment rights, and an administration that's about to start World War III under false pretenses. Because, and I love your reaction to this about Iran, because last summer, Trump said we already destroyed Iran's nuclear capabilities completely, he said.
Yes.
Totally destroyed.
Now they're back.
Now he's like, well, whoa, what happened? Did they spring up out of nowhere? So it's just an endless stream of bullshit from the White House, and nobody's buying it anymore. Your thoughts?
I would love to say that nobody's buying it. Unfortunately, with the insane bot network on social media, I'm still seeing real people that are saying, oh, but, and giving the talking points, the insane influencer network, Mike. There are the talking heads all over social media, all over YouTube, that still have significant influence over the masses. And it's very alarming. I think a lot of people are realizing, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're not. The approval numbers tell us how many people are realizing. But there's still a lot of people that are just, you know, blind followers. And my advice to them is, you know, as someone who has been generally very supportive of Trump over the years, even through, you know, Operation Warp Speed, because I thought, okay, maybe he was fooled. Maybe he can come back and do something about this. Maybe he's realized now. Maybe he's ready for retribution. You know, let's, you know, our approach is always let's give the benefit of the doubt and see what we can make happen here. Unfortunately, that whole, you know, democracy idea seems to be completely illusory. I think for a lot of people, Mike, Trump was their last hope. And they're saying now, well what now?
Yeah,
now,
right.
You know,
now?
Well, people like you and I had never put our hope in a man, but we at least hope that at least a small part of what people were told would occur would. It hasn't happened. It's very disappointing for a lot of people, you know, to see that the last hope that they had is kind of gone.
Yeah, that's exactly where we are right now. There's a lot of despair out there. And frankly, the DOJ dump of these Epstein files has only contributed to that sense because people now see that the crimes were all real, and they're wondering how much blackmail material continues to exist on people in the Trump administration. Dozens of them are named in the files in various ways, but also outside of that, governors, U.S. senators, a prominent conservative influencers. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not going to name names, but it wouldn't surprise me if some senators, some governors, and some prominent influencers have also raped children, and it's on video, and that's why Israel can always count on them being pro-Israel. And again, I'm not accusing, for example, Senator Ted Cruz of that, but he's the senator. He's one of my senators in the state of Texas. I rarely see him doing anything that's focused on Texas. Everything he talks about is Israel.
You know what else he's doing, though? He's very, very committed to getting digital ID passed in America.
True.
So working with Rep. Ana Paulina Luna on that, actually, by being done under the guise of protecting children from social media. Are we going to make sure that kids under 13 aren't accessing social media because of the harm that social media is doing? Okay, first of all, those social media companies, Mark Zuckerberg and all of these guys, Elon Musk, they are very, very welcome at the White House, but you're telling us they're causing harm to our kids. Well, why are they welcome to wine and dine in the White House if they're harming our kids? Number one. Number two, it is parents' responsibility to manage their children's online use, not the government. We don't need you to come and parent for us. Number three, how do you prove you're over 13 without adults having to submit to identification? This right. is digital ID being rolled out in America under these, you know, so-called Republicans, so-called conservatives who really should know better. I don't know what's in their heads and in their hearts, Mike, but the trend that I have seen since last year is Republicans pushing extremely hard for digital ID. Texas, it failed here because it was challenged by a very, very good legal firm, and the judge ruled that it's unconstitutional. Most people don't even know Texas was slated 1st of January because of Abbott signing off on this, by the way, and all Republicans bar one voted yes to this. Texas was slated to be under a digital ID slavery on the 1st of January this year. It is because of a law firm challenging this that we're not. Okay.
So walk us through this, though, once they get digital ID, because you and I know that's the gateway to a much bigger and more nefarious plan. What happens next if they establish nationwide digital ID?
Okay. First of all, when people think about digital ID, they think of it like your ID in digital form, like your Texas driver's license in digital form. It's not what digital ID is. Digital ID is an ecosystem of all the different ways that you become verified in the online world, which is where they want to transition us to live in. They want us to live online. And when I say that, you know, people think, well, I don't live online. A lot of us do. A lot of us spend a lot of time staring into these black boxes, you know, with an apple with a bite on the back missing from it. Anyway, I say all of that to say digital ID is an ecosystem that is your not only your government issued ID, but all of the different methods of verifying you, including age verification, age estimation, which does include biometrics often, or collecting voice samples, or even per Apple's patents that were granted. You know, your camera's constantly looking, checking out your elbow to make sure that your elbow looks like it's 27 years old or whatever the case may be. This is real patents that were, you know, and technology that these people are deploying. And so age estimation or age verification is like a constant verification that you are who you say you are, which means that everything you do or say online is monitored and therefore is attributed to your digital twin, your online person, which once a digital currency is in place, those things become interconnected. And by the way, you don't need to wait for digital currency to be in place. People are already debanked. I've been debanked for my speech. But once a digital currency is in place, that then becomes the ultimate method of control. Because if you say something the government doesn't like, they can penalize you, temporarily switch off your bank account until you, you know, go through a re-education course or whatever, and you can't pay your electricity bill, or you can't Right. pay your mortgage, or you can't buy food to feed your children because you said or thought even something the government doesn't like. And by the way, that includes things you say in your lounge room with your family when you think no one's listening because your phone always is. So once you submit to that digital ID ecosystem, you are submitting to their 24/7 invasion of your life linked to your behavior, your online persona, then compliance measures or penalties follow. Sorry, go on.
Well, no, I'm just adding that it's going to be way worse than being in, let's say, YouTube jail or Twitter jail for a few hours or days or even weeks. It's going to be, a financial prison where your entire wallet is locked up. You can't pay rent. You can't buy groceries. You can't put gas in your vehicle because they don't like what you said. And already we've seen this now. We saw Homeland Security issue subpoenas to major online platforms. This just happened recently, right? Where they're saying to Facebook and they're saying to YouTube, Google, et cetera, and other platforms, Reddit, that we want you to give us the names, the phone numbers, and the addresses of every user who criticized ICE during the ICE raids in Minneapolis. That's the government acting like a thuggish cartel, where they're going to now apparently seek vengeance against their own citizens who are criticizing their unconstitutional actions that resulted in the deaths of at least two Americans and possibly more. I mean, Maria, that's outrageous.
Yes, and Mike, you know what's also equally outrageous? I heard a very prominent journalist, I won't name names at this stage, but I heard her making an excuse for this. She was saying that, look, it's not confirmed yet, but it looks like this might be because of, my sources are saying this could be because of the bot networks that exist online. There are obviously foreign adversaries who are trying to incite civil war within America. So they're trying to identify where those bots are from and to determine which country is operating against America. Okay.
So sounds like a cover story.
Absolutely, it's a cover story, because if that was true, all you would need to know is identify the country of origin. You wouldn't have subpoenas for names, addresses, phone numbers. You would just have a subpoena for country of origin, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is why this is a total, a total lie. And I don't know whether that journalist was purposely lying or whether that journalist is just too trusting in the admin, but it's actually really embarrassing at this point that we would be, offering those counter stories without thinking beyond the, those cover stories without thinking outside of the box, because nothing thus far indicates to us that we have people acting with good intent against us all throughout history where the government is concerned. And that certainly hasn't changed, Mike.
Yeah,
we have
so
to protect our liberty. And, I don't trust anyone to protect my liberty but me and the people around me who I know actually care about it.
Well said, well said. All right. To the audience, so this, we're approaching the end of part one of our interview with Maria Z. We will continue with part two. Let me give you her website, zmedia.com, and that's Z with a triple E after it, zmedia.com. You can also find her on rumble.com. Just search for Z Media. That's her channel name, as you can see there. And today's interview is brought to you by the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123. They've been a longtime sponsor of our show and also with Maria. And these days, you need to have backup communications. They've got satellite phones, obviously, but they also sell Starlink access systems and many other backup systems, such as solar generators and Faraday bags to help protect your electronics. So they've got it all. Here's solar panels and much more. Visit them at SAT123.com. And the rest of this interview, part two with Maria Z, continues at brightvideos.com. So stand by, Maria. We'll do that next. And thank you all for watching today.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.